Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Psalms 25. I want to do a question and answer period. I got two questions. Can you do me a favor and answer along? So if this applies to you, will you raise your hands? Because usually when I ask these questions, like three people raise their hands. But I'm just curious and I need an accurate number. How many of you believe that God actually has a specific plan for your life? Okay, good. You can put it down. And how many of you really want to know what it is? Maybe you already do. Okay. All right, I'm going to hold you to that. Okay? Because there is a plan. This is not a Mother's Day message. I feel called to go in a different direction. This is a very serious message, though. It sounds like a simple message, but if we're gonna be God's church, this message has to speak to our hearts. And so I'm praying that we have soft hearts to receive it. When Jesus says, "He who has ears to hear," I pray that we have ears to hear, right? And I pray that nobody in here misses this. This message, simple, yet it could change your whole trajectory of your life if you get it. At least it did mine. It flipped my life upside down. We have young people that are getting ready to graduate, and they're facing some big decisions. Should I get a job? Do I learn a trade? Should I go to college? Maybe even who am I going to Mary, big questions, a lot of pressure. I remember when I was graduating, feeling all that pressure. I didn't have a clue what I was going to do. In a sense, for you who are graduating, the cement's wet. The cement for the foundation for your life can feel a little wet, but at the same time, you also feel it starting to hard and set up the rest of your life. And so this is an important time, kind of a scary time, because you want to shape your life right, and you want it to set you up for the future. It's not just younger people. A lot of people want to know about their future. Some unfortunately turn to people like fortune tellers. It's easier and easier to now visit a fortune teller. You can go online and do it. I read the statistics. $2.3 billion spent last year in the U.S. on fortune telling. Why would people do this? Well, not knowing your future can lead in a lot of ways to feelings of uncertainty and anxiety. Today, I can't tell you your future, but I can tell you there is a plan and a purpose for your life. And I can help you, if you'll let me, experience that, find that. I can help you put yourself in a position to where you're guided by God. Stand with me in honor of God's word. Psalm 25, verses 1 to 15. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one in hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you, Lord, are good. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways that they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only he will release my feet from the snare. This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, nobody wants to hear a pastor up here. We want to hear directly from you. And so, Father, we give you right of way. We ask you to speak. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak to our hearts, to do what can't be done by man's strength. Father, I pray that you would call people today. I pray that you would sanctify people today. I pray that you would be with young people facing their futures today and become their guides, Lord. Father, we love you and we give you all honor and praise. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Verses 12 and 13. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. From this we see there is a way. There is a way. There is a path that God has for you. But it starts off with this question, who? Who then? Who then are these people that God has this path for? Who are these people that God will instruct? God does not instruct all people. There's certain people that this says. It's not the people that just believe in him. It's the people that fear him. It's the people that have this awe and this reverence and this respect for him. Those are the people who listen. Those are the people that he has a relationship with. Those are the people that he's able to guide. Those are the ones who are conscious of him. Those are the ones who are worried about pleasing him. So the question that we should be asking ourselves is, are we these people? How do we approach him? Is it with fear? Is it with reverence? Is it with awe? Who is he to us? Do we even care about the ways that we should choose? Do we, honestly? Today, we can be certain that God does have a plan for us. We're told that in Ephesians 2. For it is grace, by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, right? You didn't earn that. You didn't do anything to contribute to your salvation. Amen. It's a gift. It's not from you. It's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That whole passage is incredible. But that last one, that last verse, we are God's handiwork. We are God's workmanship. Do you get that? In the Greek, this word implies that we are actually God's work of art. The word tells you that you're not just here by random chance. You're not just here. The world tells you that. Right, you're just here by natural selection. Great if you got good genes, bad if you don't got those good genes. You're just here by accident. But the word of God contradicts that message and says that the creator of the universe actually fashioned you, made you in a specific way. He had things in mind that he's calling you to do. And he made you in a way so that you can do those things. Do you know what those things are? Do you even care what those things are? Those specific things. You must understand that you're unique, a one-of-one. That's obvious, especially for some of you, like Mike Taylor. One-of-one, right? I love you, brother. Think about your thumbprint, right? Identical twins do not have the same thumbprint. That's incredible. I read the statistics. The chance that you have somebody else's thumbprint, 1 in 64 billion people. That's amazing. And yet, your other prints correspond to your thumbprints. So that tells you that it's not just here by chance, otherwise all your fingerprints would be different. There is purpose behind it. There is an author behind it, a creator that made you. Your fingerprint's unique, but it shares those similarities. Now, not only are you unique, but you are created to do good works planned before you are even born, before you were even thought of by your parents, right? He knew those things that he had. He planned this. He made you accordingly. That's incredible. There are people that you were made to impact. Do you know who those people are? There are situations that you're called to address. There are things that you're passionate about because God made you that way. Things that set you off, things that you're very frustrated and you feel called to do something about, right? Because he made you that way. He put those passions inside of you. He put different passions inside of you than he put inside of me because you have a different calling than I have. You have a different area of responsibility than I have. You have different people that you are called to go to and touch than I do. Do you care? Or are you just living your life, focused in on the weekend? Okay, that's great. How do you find out what these things are? How do you know that you're on the right path and you're heading towards these things, right? This psalm reveals that. But in the process, it also reveals something that we're going to hate, that you're not going to like. It reveals that something's required. It's the P word, patience. Why do people spend $2.3 billion on fortune tellers? Because we don't have patience. Because we want to know our future. We want to know what to expect. We want that road laid out for us because we don't have patience. We want to come to a church service, and we want to hear a word from God that specifically lays everything out. Holy Spirit, reveal the map, right? Reveal the path that I'm called to take. Us older people, we grew up with maps, with these paper maps that we would unfold, and hopefully at the end we would be able to figure out how to fold them back together. But we'd get in those and we'd look at them. And sometimes we'd have to put the map of Ohio next to the map of Indiana, next to the map of Illinois, and we'd have to write down the directions. All right, I'm starting in Willard, and I need to turn right onto Town Line Road 12, and I need to turn right onto Section Line 30, and I need to turn left onto US 20, and I need to turn right onto Route 4, and I need to get on 80, 90 West, right, and take that for 300 miles all the way to Chicago. And then if 90 is full of traffic, I need to get off 90 and get onto 270, right? And you need to write all those steps down. The directions would be really complicated, and you were just hoping that there wasn't construction going on, right? Or the map was up to date and right and had all the right roads on it. Ask anybody in those days, what would you rather have? Would you rather have directions, or would you rather have somebody in the car that knew the way? And I guarantee you, any one of us would have said, give me a guide, right? Give me that person. That is what God offers to us. But we don't have the patience for that. We want to see the map because we want to know where we're going to end up. We want to know what towns we're going to go through. We want to know what we're going to experience. We don't want to wait for a guide to just say, turn right here. We want to see it all laid out. But God doesn't work that way. Here's an important point. Specific guidance is not something that God gives you. It's something that God does. God doesn't give you the specific map for your life. He tells you the ways you should go, right? But not the specifics. Instead, he prompts you. He tells you, lay this thing down. Take this turn. Do this thing, right? That's how God works. That's why the Bible doesn't talk much about the specifics on how to get guidance. It instead talks about the kind of person that is guided. And until you understand that, you're going to be very frustrated with the Bible and very frustrated with God and very frustrated with a lot of things. Now, there are four things in this psalm that I want to go over that tells us what must be true of us if you want to be the person that God guides. Okay, is that even in your wheelhouse? Do you even care about that? If you do, then you want to pay attention. If you don't, then you can go, right? First point, verses 4-5. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Notice David doesn't ask God to show him his plan here. No, what's he asked for? Show me your ways. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truths, right? Spiritual maturity is the key here. It's something that takes patience. It's something that takes time to learn these things. Hebrews 5:13-14 says this, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. The author of Hebrews, if you don't catch this, is taking a jab at the church. He says, you're still on milk, right? You're basically a baby still. You don't even know what righteousness is. You're still on the basics. You need to go deeper in his word. You need to go deeper in the truth of God so that you can distinguish evil from good. We don't want to hear this, though. We don't want to hear it because it takes work. It takes effort. It takes time. And we're impatient. Many of us have wanted to learn another language, right? It amazed me how Pastor Trevor was here last week, and he went from English to French to Haitian Creole and back, and he was skipping all around. He was able to do that. Many of us took French or Spanish in high school, didn't we? We sat 5 days a week in a class for an hour, for a year, for 2 years, maybe for the longer than that. I did that for 2 years, and you know what? I couldn't speak a lick of Spanish when I was done with that. If somebody was spoken to me in Spanish, hola, that's what I got, right? If you want to learn another language, you got to saturate yourself in it. We're the people in church that are going to Spanish class for an hour a week, an hour a day, and we can't speak Spanish after 40 years of doing that. So we're not saturating ourselves in his word. Right? Do you really think half an hour a week is going to somehow magically transform you into some mature person in Christ? Do you think if you add in a 5-minute devotional every day that it's going to do it? It won't. And that's why people back then that Paul was talking to said, you're still on milk, you're still babies. You should be eating meat. You should be knowing this stuff. You should be teaching this stuff. It's the same thing that applies today. We've got people in here for 40 years. Who are being bottle fed because they will not immerse themselves into God's word. They don't have this attitude, Lord, teach me your ways, show me them. That's not their attitude. It's, I'm gonna come here and get something and then I'm done. It's Spanish class. And we're still on milk. We need a quick hit in ourselves. There is nobody who would think that if they were going to mature in sports, right, they could do that without putting serious time in. Could you imagine being on a team in sports and being like, yeah, 30 minutes a week, that's what I got. 5 minutes a day, that's what I got. What would that do? Do you think you're going to grow in anything playing sports? No, you got hours every day. You got hours of practice, and then you're thinking about it on top of that. You're putting in time. You're immersing yourself into that. And that's where the growth comes. We need to wake up. We need to have a serious wake-up call. Right? If you want to be guided by God, that is. Right? A bunch of you said you did, but I think you're liars. Our actions are showing us, at least, that we're liars. Right? We don't want to be guided by God. We don't want to put in the time that it takes. We know what it takes. We know what's at stake here. Right? Let's quit kidding ourselves. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. Is that the attitude? That's what the Holy Spirit's asking me right now. Is that the attitude that I have right now? Do we honestly desire that? He wants to guide us. We want to be guided by him. But we don't have the patience. And we're not willing to put in the time. We're too busy. Right? You got to have that, though, along with verse 9. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. It's not enough to be in the word. That's great. But we must also be humble. Greek word translated humble there means teachable. It's a person that hears the word and obeys the word. That's the second thing that we need. Go back to that sports analogy. The men and women who put the time in to learn their sport can grow in their skills by attending, right? But if they aren't coachable, if they don't listen to that coach, they're going to struggle with being a part of the plan, being a part of the team. They might be great players. They might be wise and have skills, but are they going to be usable on the team? If we're not humble, if we're not teachable, we're not going to be guidable. We're not going to be usable, right? There are Christians who I know that have a lot of knowledge, but they miss out on being used by God because they aren't humble and they aren't obedient. In sports, you can have a defensive mindset, right? Where you're never wrong, the coach is. Players can have lots of skills, but when the team loses, right, it's my teammate's fault, the ref's fault, or something else that fails. That's often us when it comes to being obedient or being used by God. We can be in a place where we know a lot, but we aren't listening. We aren't obeying with what he calls us to do. Why? Because we know better. We know better than God. We think we know better than God. We have other ideas. We have other thoughts about that, right? Here's the thing about Christianity. God calls us to do a lot of things that don't make sense, right? Coaches also do that. Why am I doing this drill? How in the world is this going to help me? Sometimes God says, just trust me and do it, right? Just go with this. If we're humble and we're teachable, we will. If we're arrogant and disobedient, though, we won't. We're going to miss it. You want God guiding you? Then we have to be teachable. Then we have to approach him like he is actually the God of the universe and he knows much more than we know. Is he in that place for you? Do you fear him? Do you hold him in awe and respect? Or is he just offering you suggestions that you may or may not take? Soren Kierkegaard said this, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. You could say that about faith, right? Faith is best understood backwards after things have happened, after you have that perspective, but it never can be lived out backwards. It has to be lived out forwards, right? If we're not going to listen to God, not do what the word tells us, then we are going to be unguidable. It's like ignoring the instructions when you're trying to put together that complicated Lord of the Rings Lego set. Do you think you're going to get the picture, right? Do you think you're going to get the complete model without going through the instructions? How's that going to work out? God told Noah to build an ark. That didn't make sense, right? It had never rained at this point. There's no sea around there. But Noah was humble and obedient. He would spend decades working on that project. Do you think he ever wondered, man, am I just an idiot for doing this? Right? This just does not make sense. Do you think people made fun of him? That around him? What are you building, a boat in the desert? But he kept doing it. And because of that, he was positioned to be used by God to save the world. This was the work that God prepared in advance for him to do. And he was humble. And because he was humble, he did it. If we're not humble, we're going to take ourselves out of position to be used by God. Obedience puts us in that position, right? Many of us here, we hear people's testimonies. We hear people's stories about how God used them. And we wish that God would use us. But wishing doesn't cut it. If we're not going to be obedient, we're not going to be in a position to be used. Are we obedient? Are we humble? I used to pray and ask God for money. Anybody ever do that? I was reading the Bible one day, and God clearly told me, you know, why would I give you money if you're not faithful with it? Like, why would I entrust more money to you if you're not faithful with it? I'm smart, though, so I had an answer, because I just don't have enough right now, and if you gave me more, then I could give it to you. And he very clearly, through his words, said, if you're not faithful with a little, you won't be faithful with much. It wasn't an amount issue. It was an arrogance issue. It was a pride issue. It was me thinking that I knew more than the God of the universe issue. Do you have conversations like that with God, where he sets you straight and calls out your baloney? We can't say that we want God to guide us, but not put ourselves in positions that we hear from him and let him call us on things and be obedient in response to those things, right? Are we guidable? Are we listening? Are we put in a position to listen? Those are things that we need to ask ourselves today. You are God's workmanship, a one of one, special, unique. And he's prepared things for you and only you to do. But you have a choice to be in them, to do them or not. Verse 10, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. This is the Psalm version of Romans 8:28, right? We know in all things God works for the good of those who loved him and were called according to his purposes. In other words, with this passage, don't have too narrow of a view for God's plan for your life. I don't know if that makes sense. Don't view it like there's six things that you have to do, right? Six stops along this path. And if you mess up stop one, you're not going to be able to go to stop two, and then you just threw everything out of whack. This can really mess with your head if you let it, right? What if I take the wrong job? What if I take the wrong job and I miss out, because if I would have taken this other job, I would have met this woman and married her. And so now I'm going to end up marrying the wrong woman. And because I married the wrong woman, I'm going to have the wrong kids. And my life's just going to be messed up, right? Don't have that low view of God. All his ways All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant, right? God is not looking down on you and saying, man, messed up. That just threw my plan out of whack. Now what am I going to do, right? Our God is too great, too big for that. Don't mess with your own head with that. Yes, there are decisions that are important, especially who you marry, right? Very important. But don't make it a train ride where you're on these train tracks and there's just one certain path for you and you have to nail that certain path if you want to be used by God. Don't make it about that. Be realistic, right? If you disobey God, there's discipline coming. You're going to miss out on some things. You're going to pay for some things. You're going to face the consequences for that. Yes, there can be brokenness in your life, but it doesn't permanently take you out of God's plan and God's use. It doesn't disqualify you. The Bible is full of people that messed up. Full of everybody, except for Jesus. And yet God still uses them. Jacob sins against his father Isaac, against his brother Esau. He deceives them, right? His name actually means deceiver. He's a liar, and he pays the price for that. As a result, he has to run from his brother, run from his family. He has to work a crummy job in exile, but also in exile, he meets Rachel and gets married to her, and the Savior of the world comes through that union. You can't derail God's plans. You can take yourself out of it, but you can't mess it up too much that it breaks it. God's plans are loving. God's plans are not so small that they can be thwarted by us. It's too great. I love that the Bible includes in its genealogy of Jesus a prostitute. We would disqualify that person. We wouldn't put her name in the list of people, descendants of Jesus Christ, but he does. He took her out of that, right? He saved her for that, and he used her, and the Savior of the world came through her path, right? I love that. Do you know what a crazy path that it took to get me here? Late to the party, but a crazy path. Do you know the ways I messed up? Too many to list. But I can testify that God's ways are loving and merciful. That he's patient, that he's faithful, even when I didn't deserve it. Third point then, right? Relax. Don't overthink it right now, especially you people about to graduate. It's good to make wise decisions, but you're not going to break or make your life. Focus in on the training. Focus in on hearing the word of the Lord. Focus in on following the word of the Lord, and it'll be more important about what path you take. Last thing, verse 14. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Do you know what the number one question I get from people regarding God's guidance? Maybe even the number one question I get, period. How do I know that this prompting is from the Lord, myself, or the enemy? How do I know this thing that is popping into my head, who's it from, whether I should follow it or whether I should not? That's a great question. That's a real valid question, a good question. Here's what you need to understand. If you are doing the things that we talked about, you'll recognize it, who it's from. If you're not, you won't. If you're in God's word and that voice comes into your head and says, do this, you're going to say, well, that doesn't line up with the word of God. That doesn't line up with what God has taught me about his path and his ways. So I know not to trust that, right? Or you're going to say, that does line up. I can trust that. When that voice that comes into your head, if you're spending time with him regularly, on a daily basis, listening to him, you're going to recognize his voice. If you're not, you won't be able to tell who that voice is from. Well, I'll trust my heart. That's horrible advice. Here's what the Bible says. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. You want to trust your heart? It will deceive you. Well, I will use reason and logic, and I'll just make my way through that. You think you can trust what you think? Proverbs 14:12, there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end leads to death. Make no mistake, we will deceive ourselves. We will tell ourselves what we want to hear. And if we are not in his word, we are not listening to him, we are not obedient to him, we won't even recognize that we're doing it. But if you are doing those things, then you can be sure that God will confide in you, that he will make his ways known to you. How awesome is that? I think most people who call themselves Christians want God's guidance, but I also think most aren't willing to do those things. And they're going to miss it. They're going to miss out on it. I'm personally stubborn and stiff-necked. I don't know about you. It usually takes a wilderness season to wake me up. I pray that's not you. I ask people all the time to do stuff. And people listen to logic and reason. And they look at things. And when they do that, they miss out. That's not the thing to look at. That's not the question to answer, right? When something comes before you, there's one question to ask. Is this God's will for my life or not? That's the only question to ask, because if it is God's will, he will align everything after it. What I do, though, is I look and see how is that going to play out, and I don't see a way for that to play out. And so I'm tempted to say no in those moments. Right? God calls the nation of Israel to cross the Jordan River into the promised land. And what do they see? They see giants in that land. They see high walls in that land. There's no way we can go in there and do that. But God called them to do that, right? They look at things from their reason and their logic, and they see all the reasons why to say no and not go forward. And those people missed out on it, and they spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness. That is the majority of us in here. God's calling us to do something, and we're looking at it with our hearts and with our brains and with our logic instead of saying, is this really from you? Is this what you want me to do? Because if it is, he'll align it. Even crossing the Jordan River, he calls them to cross it. The Jordan River is at flood stage. It's high. They'll be swept away. What we would want in that moment, we would want God to part the waters and make a way, and then we'll cross. That's how we look at it, what God calls us to do. But how does God work? He waits until the priests get in the water, start making their way. He waits for them to act on faith and step into the water, and then it parts. When God calls us to do something, we want God to part the waters. But he wants you to step out on faith. And that's hard for us. Because we've got brains that think, right? I don't know what God's calling you to. Here's what I know, though. A lot of us are missing it. Because we're looking at it from our own human perspective, from our own human power. He's got something for you. He's got a good work for you. Could you imagine leading somebody to Christ? Could you imagine starting a ministry that impacts people? Could you imagine being part of what he's doing? What could compare to that? You got to get this. You got to surrender your life. You got to be immersed in his word. and ask him to teach you his ways. You've got to be humble. You've got to be willing to be obedient. You've got to put yourself in. You've got to step in the water and let him take care of the rest with whatever he's calling you to do. Amen? Stand with me. He who has ears to hear, right? We want to be guided by God. Do we really? It's a scary path. But if you let him, he'll flip your lives upside down, right? He'll flip your lives upside down. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that if you are leading somebody in a way, that you would help them, those people, to surrender to it. If you are calling them, that they would be faithful and obedient, even when nothing makes sense, even when they can't see a path or a way. Father, I just pray that we are people that want to be taught your ways. I pray that we are people that are humbled, and I pray that we're humbled without that wilderness season. But if it takes that, I pray that that would happen as well. Father, don't let us just go on with our life, living for the weekends, and miss out on what you have for us, Lord. Father, guide us, speak to us, call us, equip us. We just ask this in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.